Here's what I want to let you know. There's nothing new under the sun. I line up with the great writer of wisdom, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, when he goes, there's just nothing new. The same story goes on over and over and over again. But I want to tell you, we celebrate today, not that Hillview Heights Church has had really 18 years of resurgence, of really reaching out to people. But you know what we celebrate? God made it possible. And today I'm not going to be long, and you all don't believe that. So as we go today, I'm going to show you possible. Possible. The first thing I want you to do for just a second is I want you to embrace that God loves you. Okay, if you're going to hang out at Hillview, you got to embrace that. The first understanding of Hillview Heights Church is this. God is love. I remember when I was a little kid growing up at First Baptist Church, and we were in another building because we had run out of room for the preschoolers. Sound familiar? And I was a little kid, and it's back there in the late 60s, and I got a little piece of construction paper, and it had a Bible verse on it. And I want to thank you, teachers, because I know sometimes you teachers who are teaching young kids, you think, is this really making a difference? Well, there's an old man telling you about a piece of construction paper that had a Bible verse on it today that he received when he was 4 years old. So you tell me if it makes a difference. And this little piece of construction paper, it had become an incarnated part of God. Because guess what it said on a little piece of construction paper? God is love. Now, I never knew how much that little piece of construction paper would influence the rest of my journey. When I was 4 years old, I didn't even really know who God was. I knew we went to church. But to tell you quite frankly, I was more interested in Captain Crunch and recess than I was the great teachings of God. But God is love, and that means this. God will, no matter what anybody else says. Now, I want you to know that is the vibration that moves in this house. God will, no matter what anybody else says. Ms. Pink, they said back in 1991 that this church would never come back to life. Where's Pastor at? Pastor Weaver. They said this place would never grow. They said this place would never reach people. The executives of our great convention and those who had been educated in our fine seminaries and those who were prompt on church growth and church methodology and church understanding at that moment of time said, Pastor Ayers, you don't need to go to Hillview Heights Church. There are better locations for church growth. And I said, but you don't know my God. And he said, go there. Now, I want you to hold on. Sometimes God tells you to go in places you don't understand. I think this happens in marriage. None of you knew what you were getting into when you got married. Can you say amen on that? Now, how many of you all thought you knew what you were getting into when you got married? How many of you all, if you were in your young 20s, you thought this is no problem? But guess what? There have been more adventures than you could ever dream of when you said, I do, didn't you? How many of you men, I do was the most expensive thing you have ever done in your life? There you go. And you had no clue. Now, when God puts you in places, he puts you there, not so that you will be recognized, but so the glory of God will be recognized. Now, Hillview, this is what we're about. We're on mission that as we live out our daily lives, people might see that there is a greater story than ours. His name is Jesus. And the reason we live like we do, the reason we practice life like we practice life, is because Jesus died on the cross, he's risen from the grave, and he is a God of promise. Go with me as we follow. God's promise is never broken. Have you noticed that's been the sermon series? God's promise is never broken. And you know what? It wasn't broken in Hillview Heights Church. 18 years ago, there were 30 people sitting in this church. And I want you to hear that story because I'm going to tell a story because, you know, part of me is Jewish. Part of you is Jewish, whether you want it to be or not, because your Savior is a who? He's a Jew. He ain't no white boy from Kentucky. He's a Jew from Bethlehem. From Nazareth. Galilee. Jamie, they said, what good can come out of Galilee? That like being born in Edmondson County. They're from where? But Jesus said, no, I was born there, but I was promised in heaven. Hold on. You all live that. Say, I was born here, but I've been promised in heaven. How many of y'all have been promised in heaven? You were born here, but you've been promised in heaven. See, you have taken up a new location. And that's what God was telling Moses. He said, my people have forgotten that they're my people. And when they forget that they're my people, then they forget the possibilities that they carry. They forget the realities that they can grow up in. And we meet God in His promise. Now, last week, Dr. Ward did a great job leading the children of Israel to be encamped outside of Egypt. We got them out of Egypt, didn't we? How many of y'all have gotten out of Egypt? That's the first step to salvation, being willing to get out. How many of y'all are willing to get out? That comes to this conclusion. In Kentucky, here's the way we say it. I ain't right. Now, that's in Kentucky. That's our first step to repentance, isn't it? We usually do it's a two-phase repentance. This ain't right. And then we say, I ain't right, which leads us to Jesus is right. You know what? Now, that's in Kentucky. In New York, it's a little more sophisticated. They say, I've done some things that aren't appropriate. That means you've sinned like hell. See, on the East Coast, they try to make sin sound nicer. On the California coast, they don't even have a concept of sin. It's not even in existence. But down south, what do we know? That ain't right. And here's the great message that needs to be risen, not from the south, but from heaven. God is right. Not right-winged, but rightly promised. And He promises us through the difficulty of life. Now check this out. Moses leads the people because God leads who? Moses didn't think of this by himself, did he? Rick Thompson, he was totally content to die in a career of sheep herding. Moses out there working for his father-in-law, Gary's a good deal. You know what I mean? He's out there, he's sheep herding. He's got sheep. Guess what else he's got? Sheep. Got a wife, got some kids, got some sheep, got a job. Life's good. Then God interrupts his destiny and says, I need you to go get my people. He says, go get somebody else. How many of y'all say that when God calls on you, kind of knocks on you and says, hey, I'd like to use your life for this. He said, go get somebody else, God. You don't understand. I got a wife. I got two kids. I'm content. I'm an American. I'm about to have all my credit cards paid off, God. Don't interrupt my destiny. I just want to live here without doing a whole lot and die. Isn't that really our vein of life? God, I want to make sure that I'm glorified and then I want to die. Isn't that the way most of us are living? But then all of a sudden God kind of taps us and says, wait a minute, I want to come into your life. I want to save you from all of your sins. I want to give you a story that is possible. And I want you to know that there are possibilities where you have seen impossibilities. Let me show you one of them. Who is leading the people of the covenant? Who's leading them? Come on, talk to me. God. Now, who is God using to lead them? Moses. So watch this. We have God's call involved with man's activity, human activity. Does that sound familiar? On a night in Bethlehem, there was born unto us. What was he made of? Flesh and God. What's Moses made of? And a call from God. What are you and I made up?
Flesh and blood.
Good. With?
A call from God.
What's changed?
Nothing.
Wow! And in a real way, guess what? We at Hillview are a little bit like the children of Israel. If you look around, we qualify. A heart beats down us. If we don't pay attention to God, this place can go wild. Because most of us have come out of Egypt. Hello? How many of y'all partied a little bit in Egypt at least once? All right. Some of you are going, well, Pastor Harris, those days have been forgiven. Yeah, but you need to remember they're possible. You need to remember, if you don't pay attention, where will you head back to?
Egypt.
Now, the Egyptians are getting a little panicked because let me tell you what happened. God encamps them and he's getting ready to take them. But as Dr. Ward told you last week, he had to take them the long way. Take them the long road, because guess what? He knew the Philistines were encamped, and he knew the Philistines liked to fight. And his children weren't ready to fight yet. See, God's pretty smart. He knew if he let them out of Egypt, and the first thing they got into was a fight, guess what they were going to do?
They weren't going to fight back. Back to where? Hold on, what do y'all do? How many of y'all got out of the baptistry and went, oh man, God's blessed my life. He's saved my soul. He's forgiven me of my sins. And on Monday, somebody said something bad to you, and where did you turn and start running for? Pastor William, ever had this happen? You baptized them, and next week they said, Pastor William, I still can't pay my rent. Yeah, because it had nothing to do with your salvation. That has to do with your employment. See what I'm saying? In other words, just because you meet God doesn't mean things are going to go your way. Oh, I got to tell you that again. Just because you meet God, it doesn't mean things are going to go what? Because in our conversion, here's what happens. I'm willing to give up my way for God's way. So now my career is shaped by God's way. Now my marriage is shaped by God's way. Now my destiny is shaped by God's way. So be careful. Sometimes God takes us the long way home. So we don't bump into the Philistines until we get ready. Well, here's what happens. Pharaoh is upset. And why is he upset? God made him upset. God allowed him to be upset. Now listen, I want y'all to realize, God uses everybody and everything. God used Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. And guess what Pharaoh said? Oh, what have we done? The labor force has left Egypt. No more pyramids. What are we going to do about pyramid development? Labor is gone. So Pharaoh says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to harness my army and go get the people back. Now, here's what had happened, though. The people left Egypt under God's call. Now, follow me here. When you leave Egypt under God's call, Chuck, there's no turning back. When you leave Egypt under God's call, you are no longer under Egyptian authority. You have entered God's promise. See, watch this. I respectively submit to the authorities of our nation by choice. Because I'm under God's promise. Ultimately, the authorities that are over me have no voice in my ultimate direction. The only reason I submit to the authorities that are here is so that they might know the glory of the God that has given me promise. You see, no mountain is high enough. I'm going to sound like I'm singing here in a minute. And no river is wide enough. And no man is powerful enough. And no army is big enough. And no philosophy is smart enough. And no nation is grand enough to hold the promise of God back. Amen. So guess what? And Pharaoh is fixing to make a bad move. You know what I'm praying for in our nation? Eventually, this nation is going to tick the church off enough that they'll start living the promise. You know what the problem with the church is in America? We look like Egypt. We don't look any different than Egypt. We don't believe any different than Egypt. We cower down and bow down and live in fear and depression and anxiety just like everybody else. But I believe in this moment of time, right now in the 21st century, God is going to raise up people of promise. And guess what? When they hear the word crisis, they're going to say, my God reigns. And when they hear the word defeat, they're going to hear, my God goes on. And I'm a part of that God. Now y'all got the pulse here at Hillview? They told me it wouldn't work. Y'all came anyway. They said this church will never reach people. They said it was in the wrong location. Well, see, they thought we was going to build a local church. Jamie, last week I stood in Pampalitosa, Hillview, Costa Rica. How did we get there? I have no idea, but I mean, I can't even spell Costa Rica. And 18 years ago, I didn't even know where Costa Rica was. Elizabeth and I sat here a week before we got ready to start the first sermon that I ever preached in this church. And 18 years later, I'm standing there on a Sunday morning going, hola, buenos dias, welcome from your mother church, from your church in the States. And I'm looking at all these cool Tico looking people looking at me going, you know, and they worship. They get a little. And I, you know what I found? White people can't dance. I don't care where you are in the world. They can't dance. You ought to see Merle. He tried to break a groove. And the only way, and I said, the only way he's going to be able to move his hips is God anoint him to do so. That's what, but it, because all things are possible to do. God. Freddie! Why would God use a man from Butler County? And it's lower Butler County, too. It ain't even upper Butler County. I mean, you hit out almost when you get in out of Butler County. Yeah, by the river. And he used Freddie Hampton and Jim Broaddus. He took Freddie, a good, hard-working, going-to-get-it-done kind of guy, and Jim Broaddus, a hippie. Put those two together as spies into a new land. And that's where the church started in Costa Rica. First of all, Freddie went with Jim. That amazed me. You're talking about two different personalities. Freddie was wondering where they needed to go, and Jim didn't care. Hold on. And God used both of them to make what? Everything possible. Now, here's what I want you to know today, the heart of this church. We're not going to stop. We're not going to slow down. In fact, guess what we're going to do? We're going to speed up. We're going to speed up, Jamie. Man, I'm excited that 5,217 human beings are now entering into the kingdom of God because Jesus Christ is the Lord of all things. However, I want to let you know, amen, praise God that He saves people. That's the praise. All right? Well, hold on. Now, I'm not gloom and doom. I'm not a gloom and doom guy. God just hadn't made me to be a gloom and doom guy. However, I'm also not a head in my sand, you know, your head in the sand kind of guy. I want y'all to know that some things are staging up. Period. That's all I want you to know. Now, if Jesus is coming back and you know the Lord, you don't have a problem. Does everybody understand that? If you haven't repented of your sins and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat or you love people, you've been nice, you've got Martha Stewart cookware. I don't care whatever else you've done. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there is going to be a day of reckoning. And if you're not on His side, death is inevitable. Get with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And until that message burns your heart, you'll sit and stare in church. You know why we got people sitting and staring in churches all across America? Because they don't believe He's Lord. They hear that He's Lord, but they don't believe He's Lord. They hear that He's possible, but they never live in His possibilities. They think He might be a God of deliverance, but they never give that sin to the God of deliverance. You see, God's coming from His people. And when He comes for His people, nobody can stop God. Is everybody hearing me? Because I wanted to end right here. That's all I wanted to tell you. Go with me to verse 13, chapter 14. Moses answered the people because they got a problem. Pharaoh, who is it, Shane? Reverend Shane, who's after him?
Pharaoh.
Now, you being you're a first lieutenant, aren't you? Yes, sir. If I was in the military, I'd have to salute Shane. As a military man, what strategy is Pharaoh bringing to the people of Israel? If you note there in the scripture, I know you have, he brings out the best chariots and all of his army, Eric. Why is Pharaoh bringing everything he's got? Well, here's the thing. Pharaoh's just seen all of his firstborn die. So he's missing some of his army. You all know that firstborn children lead better than all other children. The firstborn. Bible don't tell, I tell my brothers and sisters all the time, Bible don't talk about no secondborn. I also tell my father, I thought this was a biblical family because in the Old Testament, the eldest son gets all the inheritance. And at this point, my mother and father have been a little bit unbiblical in my opinion. My father said, we would never do that. I said, I'd give my other brothers and sisters a little bit. Manna. Pharaoh is bringing everything he's got because guess what? Pharaoh has got a little more faith than some of y'all. Pharaoh, in my opinion, has got a little more faith than the children of Israel. Pharaoh's saying, if I'm going to go get them, I got to go get them with everything I got. And he goes with everything he's got. But guess what? Pharaoh's not up against Moses, and he's not up against the people of God. He's up against their God. I want you to know we believe God in this church does three important things constantly. They're in a rhythm. We exist at Hillview Heights Church to connect people to Jesus Christ. That's in everything we do, every day we do it. Every day we do it. And we don't care what you're doing. Steve Carter, we've learned that God can use an accountant. Amen? And you remember when we started? We didn't have gray hair. Remember when we started this church? You and I would have never dreamed all the different stories we went through when we sat and had dinner in Phoenix, Arizona, talking about the possibilities of this church. You had no idea what would happen in the finance industry, and I had no idea what would happen in the American church. But guess what I know? God's still connecting people to Jesus. Amen? So guys, over here's our brothers and sisters up in Smith's Grove. And God's doing it. Hey, they said y'all's church couldn't baptize anybody. Benny, that beautiful wife back there, what happened to her? She got baptized. See, here's what I want you all to know. Quit telling me what God did, because I know what He's doing. You see, there's a difference. We need to become a church about what God is doing and not just what He's doing. Because let me tell you what He'll do. He'll take you to the other side. And we may preach this in two parts. And we're going to preach some more of this next week. Just the way it goes sometimes. I'd rather be on God's plan than our preaching plan. Amen. You know what? Watch this. We've been talking about the God of promise. In April, your smart pastors, we all got together and we went and prayed together in a remote location. And I want you to know that we haven't preached a thing we planned for. Because in April of last year, we talked about this in a meeting last week, remember? In April of last year, we could have never have guessed the world we live in today. It was beyond our comprehension. It was beyond our comprehension to deal with the variables we're dealing with today. But guess what we've learned? God said, go back and understand, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Jacob, and here's the good news this morning, and I'm the God of Hillview Heights Church. The same God, Larry, that put the torque on Pharaoh is the same God that leads His church. So here's what I want you to know. As your pastor, I don't want to ever lead the church. Because here's what I already know. If I lead this church, we'll mess it up. Patty and Bert, we were all together when we were young. I've seen the pictures. Bert, you've gained a lot of weight since we first took pictures. And I'm right there with you. I looked at Bert and I, and we looked like Blake and Anthony. Blake and Josh. Then all of a sudden, because Blake likes to kid me about how my body's reshaping. And I told him he doesn't understand that the longer he lives, if he lives in the promises of God, that God will fulfill you as you live life. He doesn't understand this. This is an act of God. He says, is that why you eat that ice cream? I said, that assists in the fulfilling nature of God. Promise. Look at the promise. Now, he got in a difficult moment. Moses answered the people because they were terrified. They said, here comes the Egyptians. They're going to get us. Here's what I want you to know. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. I want to stop there today. And I want to bring this sermon back next week to finish up the details. So today really was just the introduction to the sermon I'm going to preach. But I want you to know some things. I wanted you to be reminded of some things this week, this moment. And if you're like me, if I have to think about too much, I never get anything. Y'all like that? Sometimes we need to get one thing under our belt, into our heart, into the passion of God. Do not be afraid. I'm going to show you something. And I'll detail it out next week, but look at this. The deliverance of the Lord will deliver you what? Today will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them what? Again. Who said that? Now let me help you with something. When God tells you, you're not going to be here tonight, let me help you. You're not going to be here tonight. But the same God that can say that, guess what else He can say? You ready for this? You will be with me in heaven. Let me tell you how incredibly cool God is. In the midst of his own crisis, Jesus is hanging there on the cross. That has to be terribly beyond my understanding of painful. Think about this for a moment. And Jesus wasn't hanging alone. How many of you know most of us don't hang alone? How many of y'all, when you get in trouble, you bring somebody else to hang with you anyway? For some reason, we don't like to party alone and we don't like to hang alone. Have you all known that? I grew up in a household of four brothers and sisters. Anytime I got in trouble, I always wanted to bring one of them in on the situation. Any of y'all strategize like that grew up with brothers and sisters? It was never just what? Me. But Jesus is dying, and this is the same God that delivers the Egyptians, the people of Israel from Egypt, and delivers them out of Egypt. This Jesus who's dying beside a guy on the cross, he stops dying for just a moment because this guy starts believing on the cross. As he hangs on the cross, he says, "You truly are the Son of God." And he says to him, "Today, you'll be in paradise with me." Now hold on, when God says you're going to be in paradise, what's going to happen? Now this is what we struggle with. You go, "Pastor Steve, I wish it could be that simple." Well, it is. Here's the problem. In America, we live under one of the greatest lies of all. We think complicated is sophisticated. Coach Cox is back there, dear friend, dear brother of mine. We had some coaches that liked to draw a lot of X's and O's. Really get a great strategy. I'm kind of an old school player. Here's what I believe. If you're hit so hard that you cannot continue to play, it's a good, then you don't have to worry about that particular player. I've never seen a good running back run hurting. So I believe punishment is better than X's and O's. And that's why I love the game of football, because you can hit without being arrested. Guess what you got to do? You can draw up the fanciest plans of all playing the game of football, but still, guess what you got to do? You got to tackle people. You got to do the basics. And so today, Hillview, here's our encouragement. We must believe. Now, all week long, you're going to hear things that challenge what you believe. I don't care where you hear them from, but you're going to hear them. And guess what? That's been going on for eons of time. Pharaoh is challenging God. He says, "I'm going to go get God's people. I'm going to reverse what God has said. God said, let them go." And Pharaoh said, "No, I'm going to pull them back in." And God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And here's what God tells Moses. Moses says, "Look, you're going to see. The Lord will fight for you, and you only need to be still." Okay, well, I think today we need to be still for just a second. Here's what we're going to continue to do. Tell as many people as you know about Jesus. How many of y'all are willing to do that? And you got to start doing that. 5,217 people is just the beginning of what God's going to do. It's going global. Do you see the choir today? Do you see what God's done here in the church? God's done it. What's this? Let me rattle off the countries real quick at Hillview. Russia, Costa Rica, Mexico, Argentina, North Korea, Bosnia, Kosovo, Russellville, Timmy, Richardsville. Places that God has spoken truth into. Wow. Think about this, Timmy. God got you from Richardsville, and then he got some from Russia. Same God. Now, God has a little bit different opinion than Moses. Moses said, "Be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." I love it. Moses is saying, "Here, be still. Let's understand that God is all powerful, omnipotent, that his cosmetol, his understanding, he's really a God that's going to deliver us." And God says, "Moses, then move on." That's what I wanted to give you today. Keep moving on. Jim, I'm sorry. Sometimes we got to say "see you later" to our spouses because death does get them. That's the reality in your life. But guess what God's enabling you to do? Move on. That's real. Sometimes we got to work through a bad marriage, and guess what God says? Move on. Sometimes drugs and alcohol that have plagued our life, eventually we hit a moment, and guess what we're able to do? Move on, because here's what I want to tell you. I want to leave you with this one. The plans of man will never outweigh the promise of God. Now let me give you some good news. And I don't care who the man is or who the woman is, they will never outreign the promise of God. You know where all the great Caesars of Rome are? Dead. You know where all the great scientists of the 20th century are today? Early 20th century. Dead. Last night, guess what? I was amazed. I watch weird things on TV. Y'all ever do that? You can tell when you're getting old when you watch weird things on TV. Last night I was watching, and Clacy, it makes her mad, so I watch it that much longer. And it makes Elizabeth mad, so that gives it double joy. I was watching, Nathan, Time Life magazine, 165 romantic songs of the 70s. Because that made everybody in the house mad. And Steve Carter, I even turned it up. And you know what happened? I told Clacy, I said, the reason her generation is so messed up is they didn't have songs like this. And she looked at me on the couch going, how much longer are we going to listen to this? I said, long time. And they showed pictures of these people from the 70s. Have y'all seen them? They had Tony Orlando. How many of you have even thought about Antonio Orlando in a long time? And he had these two girls back there, and they were in these flowing things. And he had like long, it was modified mullet. It was a complete mullet rolling back. With a purple tux on, with bell bottoms on the tux, with platform stack shoes. How many of y'all remember that era of time? It was real. I remember going to the First Baptist Church wearing a chocolate shirt, silk, with a lime green. Some of y'all are laughing because there's a couple of y'all in here who go, I still got mine. I can't wait to break it out when it comes back. And I remember I had gotten me some stack platform dress shoes. Clacy and I look sexy. There's no doubt about it. And I walked in the First Baptist Church like, staying alive. Y'all remember that? I am looking at these people that had sung these great songs that I remember from my adolescence. And guess what a lot of them were? Dead. Rock stars die. Comedians die. Leaders die. But the promise of God will go on. I want you to know that after 18 years of being in fellowship with you guys, I want you to stand up together right now. We're coming to the altar. I'm very aware of what's going to happen to our leadership here in this church. Guess what? We're going to die one day. It's okay. Because you know what? Right now, it's not about looking toward our death. It's about living in our Lord. And I want you to know, in the name of Jesus Christ, our faith will go forward. I love every mom and daddy we got in this church, and every mom and daddy God will bring in this church. And here's all I can tell you. You saw a fine young man on the video, and I say that with all prejudice, because it's the one God sent us, and he's got a fine young sister. But you know what? Elizabeth and I were willing to risk our kids in an experimental developmental program. Andy and Trish, you joined that risk a little later. And we got Nathan. God's moving and developing kids. So our faith is going to go forward. And I believe God's going to raise up some kids that say, be still, know he's our deliverer. And then those same young men and women are going to say, and now we must go and do what God said do. And we'll pick up in detail next week more of this, okay? He is our Lord, amen? He is forever. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today, guess what? All I can encourage you to do is come and live. And if you don't, life will never make sense. Here's what you need to do. Lord Jesus, I know that you're God. I know you're a delivering God. I know you're a God that'll take us across to the other side. I know you're a God that'll stay with us. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. That's what we're about at Hillview Heights Church. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Only way into heaven. Somebody's saying that right now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Some of you going, Pastor, what about my beer? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Pastor Steve, you don't understand. My eyes wander. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've had a bad past. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Start there. He'll take you through the desert. Because here's what I've found in the desert. You lose things you thought you needed. And you find things that you need. Amen? But the only place to get them is in a desert. So some of you need to start. And guess what? I'm going to get to be Moses this morning. Eric, if I had my staff, I'd raise that staff up. And guess what I'd say? In the name of Jesus, and because of the blood of Jesus, and because of the covenant of Jesus, and because of the call of Jesus, come out of Egypt in the name of Jesus. And leave you a life of sin and start a life of victory. Amen? And so right now, you all have already got the altar call going. That's great. If you need to be baptized, let's be baptized. If you need to come and just pray. If you want to thank God for your families, y'all are beautiful people. And let's make it happen in the name of Jesus. Lord, this is your altar. These are your people. This is your movement. This is your church. Bless it now in the name of Christ. Amen and amen.